Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools, all made to fast-track your success. Put the go in your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and start your free trial today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
The Mark Reardon Show.
They call my plan Bidenomics. Guess what?
It's working.
I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
I do not hate anyone. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A beautiful fall day. It's a little chillier than yesterday or the day before, but that's okay because it's November and we're a week away, just a little bit more than a week away from Thanksgiving. So we're getting set for that. I'm very excited about Thanksgiving, team. I don't know about
you. Are
you? Well, yeah, because it's for me, you know, I got both kids in town. Fred, you're going to be out of town with your kids.
I am.
But it's weird because, you know, I've never had both of them living so far away, Sue.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Aiden lives in Chicago now and Evan's down in Houston. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And Fred and I are both, I'm not trying to rub it in, okay, because you're here next week.
Yeah,
Mike Elam will keep you company, but Fred and I will be off next week. We do have a couple of changes for this week just because Jane ditched out on Friday on us, so she won't be
on.
Oh,
she did.
Oh, she claims she's traveling. Or something like
whatever.
That. That's okay. Don Berenger, I think, is going to fill in on Friday. And we still have a couple more days to go here. We got Kilmeade coming up in this hour. Phil Holloway also. You know, the I'll ask Phil this question. Sue, I don't know if you followed this today, but the Lake and Riley trial is over.
It's over?
Not only is it over, but he's already been sentenced.
What?
Like, this thing lasted like 3 days. It was not a jury trial. So the judge decided guilt or innocence, and he ruled on all this today, and then all of a sudden they took a break and they sentenced him.
Well, I assume he's guilty, and I hope he's gone for a long time.
Yeah, he is very guilty, and it does appear that he will be gone for life. Some of this was, you know, one of those things where you have this charge and that charge, and then you have, you know, concurrent versus consecutive, and he was doing consecutive. Here he is reading the sentences.
Count one. Malice murder, I sentence you to life without the possibility of parole. Count two will be vacated as a matter of operation of law. Count three.
I mean, basically, it's life in prison with no chance of parole. Now, this is disappointing because I still remain a death penalty proponent, and this would be a perfect case for the death penalty. The prosecutor wimped out on this, which I think is disappointing. This was tough to hear. Fred, you followed a fair amount of this week, right? And I heard a lot of the testimony earlier in the week. And, you know, some of the friends, family members, mom and dad of Lake and Riley went up today and addressed the court.
He ripped away every beautiful memory we will ever be able to make with her again. This horrific individual robbed us all of our hopes and dreams for Lakin. Your Honor, I'm asking you to please give Jose Ibarra the same thing he gave us when he made the choice to take Lakin's life and destroy ours. He showed no mercy on Lakin when she was begging for her life.
You know, and that's one of the it's one of the tough things that you heard this week in the testimony. You had an officer yesterday that testified about the fingernail scratches. There's every indication that Lakin Riley fought literally to her death, like a relatively long struggle. And, you know, it's just awful. So, unfortunately, the judge can't show the same type of treatment because there is no death penalty in this case. But it's good that that was resolved very quickly. And as Paul Morrow's been saying, and other people on Fox, I think Brian will, you know, agree with this. There's a lot more of these guys out there.
There are other Jose Ibarras out there that we have imported into this country, who we are paying to stay here, who we are flying around at their whim, who we are, in fact, under the CHN program, flying into this country. And if I sound angry, I am.
Yeah, he should be angry. So we're going to continue to cover that. And I mentioned Mr. Kilmeade coming up here in a couple of minutes. The biggest story of the day, which is kind of hard for me to keep track of things, but I think if I have to power rank them right now, it's the bathroom situation on Capitol Hill with all the other work we have to do. Now, I do have some what I think is good news here this afternoon on this front. This was a statement that was issued earlier this afternoon, not too long ago, from Democrat Congressperson Sarah McBride. This is the Delaware trans biological male, now a female. The fight from Nancy Mace in particular over bathrooms. But here is the message, and I'll kind of back up on this here in just a little bit and tell you what happened in the background today. But Sarah McBride issued a statement that said, I'm not here to fight about bathrooms. I'm here to fight for all Delawareans. Huh. Not an easy thing to say there.
No.
And to bring down costs facing families. Like all members, I will follow the rules as outlined by Speaker Johnson, even if I disagree with them. This effort to distract from the real issues facing this country hasn't distracted me over the last several days as I've remained hard at work preparing to represent the greatest state in the union come January. Problem is that she has, you know, drawn a lot of attention to herself. Look, Riley Gaines posted a picture not too long ago of Sarah McBride posting a selfie in a bathroom and said, here I am using a women's restroom in North Carolina that I'm technically barred from bringing in. And Riley Gaines was, you know who doesn't have to take a selfie in the women's restroom to prove that they're a woman? Women.
Women.
Yeah. Women don't have to do it. But let's get with Nancy Mace, who's from South Carolina, has not been backing down on this at all, even though she keeps getting, you know, asked questions. So here she was earlier today.
So I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. I will stand in the brink and stand in the way of anyone on the radical left who thinks that it's okay for a penis to be in a women's locker room or a bathroom or a changing room. Hell no. I'm not going to stand for it. And the speaker said it would be in the House rules package. If it's not, I'll be ready with a motion, a privileged motion, to force a vote on this. This is not okay. I'm a survivor of rape. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. And I'm not going to allow any man in any female private spaces.
Now, Speaker.
End of story. And by the way, I'm getting death threats from men pretending to be women. Why is it that these crazy people, the insanity, the radical left, are willing to kill women over a man's right to be in a women's restroom?
That's a very interesting question. By the way, it's Trans Awareness Day today, in the middle of Trans Awareness Month and all this other stuff, just so you know. So the reporter, I think that was a reporter from ABC, wants to push back.
We're going to peel away from this conversation, Kira. So a little bit.
Right, that's not the right one. Here it is. Sorry about that.
Well, forcing this congressperson to go into a male restroom, is that dignity and respect?
Forcing women to share private spaces with men is not dignity and not respect. And I'm absolutely going to stand in the way of anyone who thinks it's okay for a man to be in our locker room, in our changing rooms, in our dressing rooms, in women's bathrooms. And in fact, if you agree with that, you're crazy, because that's not okay. It's not okay.
You know, I agree with Nancy Mace. There's been people out there, and I get that this is not the biggest issue on Capitol Hill. I'm actually glad that Sarah McBride decided, look, we're going to put this aside. I'm going to use the women's or the men's restroom or the unisex. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go in the men's restroom. Use the unisex. John Fetterman issued a statement saying, you know what? She can use my restroom in my office. Hey, there's plenty of places to pee, okay, if that's what you need to do. But there have been people out there saying, sorry, Republicans, but bathroom bills make no practical sense and do nothing to protect women's safety. Anyone who tragically is going to harm women in the bathroom isn't deterred by a policy. Well, wait a second on that. This is where I would take issue with that. And Mark Hemingway, who is a pundit out there, said this. No, once bathrooms are accepted, they'll push for entry into locker rooms. That's the plan. I'm done with the slippery slope. And he's absolutely right about that. This is what, you know, the plan is. You have, there's a representative from, I'd have to see what state this is. Zoe Zephyr. It's not a congresswoman. It's a state rep in a state that said, I literally just got out of meetings with my members of Congress and I used the bathroom on my way out. Trans women are women, full stop. We're every bit as, quote, biologically female as cis women. And Speaker Johnson's statement doesn't change the fact that women's spaces include trans women. Let's just kind of evaluate that for a second. This is why you know, and I had Paul Scanlon on from Raleigh Gaines Center yesterday. Riley's told me this, too, in the interview that I did with her. Why is it that they're unable to address this issue of fairness, right? Well, because once they do it, then the whole house of cards. So exactly. With this person saying trans women are women, full stop, we're every bit as biologically female.
No.
That's just factually not close to being true.
Right.
So you lose all credibility when you say something like that. And the rest of the country is kind of on to that. So this really isn't even a debate outside of, you know, activists out there. And by the way, outside of the legacy media. So this was the legacy reporter after Nancy Mace walks away.
We're going to peel away from this conversation, Kira. So a little bit of the context of what we were just talking about.
Yeah, the context. I love that the ABC reporter wants to put something into context right now for the rest of us. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It really is.
I think she was clear. I don't see any context needed.
Right. I don't think there's a lot of context needed either. And some of these things, and I think we know this. You know, when Nancy Mace says that she's getting threats from men, some of the trans men, whoever they are revoltingly threatening and violent. And these are the people on the empathetic left, right?
This is the people you want out of the bathroom.
Yes, I would agree. All right, I want to go back to a trial here, Danny Penny's trial, because I've been following this as well. And there was something that was released today on the Free Press by Olivia Rheingold, who's a reporter over there. She got a hold of the first police interview that Danny Penny did in the aftermath of what happened on that subway car. And, you know, what I said earlier today on Twitter is this is really a good watch, and I'm going to play you some of the audio here. This is really a good watch, and also never talk to the cops without an attorney. Just don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. No offense to you officers out there, but do not talk to the cops without an attorney. Danny Penny makes the mistake. He goes in there thinking the cops are his friends. They're not looking at him as a suspect, right? Because he didn't do anything wrong. He's trying to save people on this F train. But this is what it sounded like. At first, they start out kind of jovial.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. Very good. I'm doing well.
Yes.
Served in the Marine Corps there?
I did, yes.
Served in the Marine Corps.
Oh, nice. Nice,
Got my little death before the sun.
There you go. Nice, man.
What you doing? What was your MOS in the
I was in 0351.
I was 0331.
So a little small talk here. They're just catching up. One of the officers was in the Marines and, you know, just kind of trying to come up with some things that are relatable.
So I have class down in Brooklyn. I take the F down to J Street Metro Tech. My class was at 12. So once the class finished up, I was going straight to the gym. I go to the gym in Lifetime on 23rd Street. So I get off. I take the F straight from school to the gym. Mm-hmm. Was on there. I forget what stop it was at, but some guy came in. He's like, whipped his jacket off, and he's like, I'm gonna kill everybody. I can go to prison forever. I don't care. I don't do this. At that point, I looked to the person next to me like, hey, just hang on to this phone for me. I had my headphones in, took it off, and just kind of like grabbed him from behind because he came in just to like, because he was acting like a lunatic, like a crazy person.
Yeah, he was acting like a lunatic because he was a lunatic and he was threatening people. I, for one, who've been to New York City, Fred, you've been to New York City, we've all been there on a subway car. I've been in subway cars where it's a little uncomfortable with people who may be mentally ill. I've never been on one where someone's, you know, shouting out that they're going to kill everyone and they're willing to go to prison for the rest of their life. I would love for, you know, someone like Daniel Penny to be on that car, especially if my family was there. I'd like to think that I would be, you know, brave enough to step in that moment, but I think a Marine probably has a better shot at this.
So I came up, he was had his back turned to me, and I just kind of got him in a hold, got him to the ground. He's still like squirming around and still, you know, going crazy. And I turned to a guy, I'm like, hey, call the cops, because the train arrived in Broadway.
Yeah.
And then waited for you guys.
So he continues to tell the story, and they kind of have him go through an example of what he did with the chokehold, if you will.
Yeah, so he was standing behind me, and I kind of came like this.
Okay. Did you apply pressure, Daniel?
No, I did. I wasn't. I just wanted to keep him from getting to people.
Did you put your hooks in?
I wrapped my legs.
Did you learn the jiu-jitsu from the Marine Corps?
I did, yes.
You learned how to grapple in the Marine Corps. What belt level are you made into?
Green
belt?
Yeah.
Good. Right.
Yeah, they kind of talk about how he, you know, he achieved this level of green belt in the Marine Corps. And, you know, then they, and I'm not saying the cops were trying to, you know, pin him down on a specific crime here, but they clearly were going at him for a reason. And then there was the final exchange here.
I'm not trying to, I'm not a confrontational guy. And I'm not out here like trying to attack people, you know. It's not me, not how I was trained.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt the need that this guy was saying that he's gonna kill people, that he was prepared to go to jail for life. I hear that, I'm like.
But he was making enough of a scene that you noticed him, and then you probably would have noticed if he put his hands on someone.
But I didn't.
Okay. All right.
So that was an interesting moment, because he was making enough of a scene that you probably would have noticed if he put his hands on someone. And he admitted, Daniel Penn, he's like, yeah, I didn't want him to do that. So we were trying to prevent him from doing that. That's how I interpret that moment.
And then once he starts doing that, that's when you try to subdue him.
Yes. I wasn't trying to, like, injure him.
Right.
I'm just trying to keep him from hurting anybody else. He's threatening people. That's what we learn in the Marine Corps. That's what you guys learn as police officers. It's the same thing. If you're off duty, you're gonna intervene in a situation where it's.
Yeah, exactly. Now the audio cut off there, but you already said to the cops. He goes, "That's what you would do if you're off duty and you're not, you know, doing your job right now as a cop, and you see something like this, you're gonna step in and you're gonna try to help." And that's what he did. Look, the standard here in this criminal trial, in all criminal trials, is reasonable doubt. There is more than enough reasonable doubt. Even based on that video right there in that interview, this is a ridiculous trial. Free Danny Penny and move on with it. Try to address some of the real crimes happening in New York City. How embarrassing. Kilmeade's coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.